Yeah, welcome back on this chilly weekend, Saturday morning and Sunday. Be a small craft advisory across the coastal areas, so you don't want to be out on open waters for sure. There are some interior lakes and maybe some canals, bank fishing that you can do. Kind of stay out of that wind because it's going to be humping out there, and that adds to the chill factor. And temperature's not supposed to get really out of the 30s any time today, so it's going to be a chilly one out there. All right, we got text messages coming in. I got my buddy Rick from Slidell area checking in Lacombe. He's up in Oak Grove, Kentucky, visiting his grandson, Seth, where it's 14 degrees and the feel-like temperature is 1. Well, wish Seth some good luck and on his deployment that's impending. And he says he'll be looking forward to hunting the beady-eyed birds in a couple of months. Yeah, Rick and I, we've been chasing beady-eyed birds, I don't know, Rick, at least 20 years, huh? And we're going to still be at it again. We're about 2 months away from the opening of the season. All right, got some more text coming in. This one, it's an update on that Jefferson Lake Canal. I'm told now it is only accessible by boat and not by land, so scratch that. Up in Ohio, they call those snowstorms floricanes. Makes them more fun, if there's any fun in them at all. All right, of course, we got Sam talking about it ain't cold, it's refreshing. He remembers last July. I wonder if during July and August you think about these cold days in January, February, and you say, man, it's so nice to be able to wear cutoffs and a T-shirt and not have all this bundled-up stuff looking like, what was the name of that little kid on Christmas Story? Randy, Ralphie's little brother. You know, he looked like the Pillsbury Doughboy. They had him so bundled up. And if you're going out, you better dress like that, too, because it's going to be chilly. All right, got this one in. Been listening to you for several years. Also listen to Captain Mickey out of Houston, but management took him off the air. Bad move. Just love your show. That's from the East Texas Aggie. Well, I've never heard Captain Mickey, but, you know, unfortunately, that's what happens. A lot of these shows are no longer on, and there's less and less of them. We're very fortunate. I think we are now at 37 years, the longest run. Actually, total before the network was about 41 years of continuous broadcast, and I think we are the longest-running outdoor show in America. All right, we got some more coming in. This one says, not many places to fish on Highway 23 anymore. The areas that used to be fished by a lot of the public is closed due to people littering. Boy, I hate to hear that, you know. And when you go into areas that are still open, clean up your mess. I mean, if you drop something, or, you know, and a lot of times there's not waste canisters available to deposit your trash, but, you know, just put it in a bag and throw it in the truck and dispose of it later on, because it could lead to the place where you're fishing to actually be shut down. All right, let's see. We got this one in. Got update from Riley and I, a hunting trip in Alabama. 2 weekends ago, he took his first deer, a doe. Well, congratulations on that first deer. All right, here's one. Don, was the park in Hammond on your list of stocked rainbow trout from the Big Man Bassin in Covington? Yeah, it's Zamurri Park is the name of it. It's probably one of the smaller areas. It's not a big area at all, but I tell you, I fished there. I haven't fished the rainbow trout there. I fished them at the Jennings Pond and the Breck Pond in Baton Rouge, but I did fish the channel cats in Zamurri, and boy, I went home with a load of them, too. Nice fat friable catfish, and the rainbow trout are going to be there too, and that is one of the places you can go fish today during this cold weather. And like I say, you've got the truck going to be parked close by, so if it gets too cold for you and the kids, go jump in the truck, warm up, and then get back at it. Bring you some little pop-up chairs, folding chairs to bring out there. Bring you a little ice chest and maybe some thermos with some hot cocoa or coffee, especially if you got the kids with you. All right, we're going to be right back after this. Check in with Captain Mike Gallo. He's on Born on the Bayou guy. We'll find out what he's doing this weekend on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And when you hear that music, you know what's coming next. Captain Mike Gallo's report presented by CETO. And if you are not a CETO member, boy, I think of them this kind of a weekend with those small craft advisories, low tides, going to be mud flats, and I've seen some pictures of people getting stuck during last weekend. Don't be that guy that failed to call CETO and get signed up, because they'll bring you fuel if that's what your problem is, jumpstart electrical problems. They got to hook you up and tow you back to the dock or back to your launch. They'll be glad to do it. It's like having a AAA policy on the water. Peace of mind for you, and especially it's peace of mind for your loved ones who are worried about you when you're out there in these problematic conditions. So if you want to get signed up, Captain Chris will do it for you. One phone call is all it takes. 504-301-4545. Click CETO.com and you can get more information and actually sign up there. Makes a great gift, too, for someone. CETO, check them out. Captain Mike joins us now. And Captain Mike, are you on a deer stand? Are you holding out for a midday fishing trip to sneak into some protected waters? Or are you just kind of chilling out by the fire?
I will be heading to the deer stand shortly.
Very good. What's the prospects?
Actually, a nice doe was harvested yesterday by one of the guys that I'm hunting with, and he's done. So I may go sit in the same stand he was in, and hopefully some good fortune will come my way, and we can send Double D some business.
Yeah, you've been after those deer now for a while, and it's getting time to when it's going to be closing out. How many more days they have in that area of Mississippi?
This is the last day.
That's it, huh? One more day, and that's it. Well, how have they done overall?
I think it's been a pretty good year. They had a lot of woods that were cut down, or I guess clear cut, so it's kind of confined the deer a little more in his area. So there's been quite a few of them. It's just a lot of small ones. That doe yesterday was about 125 pounds. So hopefully I see one like that and we'll have some good sausage.
You know, I've been hearing a lot of stories from Alabama about their rut being on and deer. In fact, my daughter had a buck chasing a doe through her yard that's going on right now. Where are they on the rut in that part of Mississippi where you're hunting? Is it over on the way out, or is it still going on prime time?
I think they told me it was on the way out.
Yeah.
They haven't seen as much activity. You know, there might be a few late bloomers, but they think it's on the way down.
Mike, any suggestions for people around the Slidell area that they just want to get out? They're going to wait for the sun to come up. It's probably going to not get anywhere over maybe high 30s today. In most areas, low 30s. That's going to be the high temperature. Where might they be able to go and stay comfortable and not get in any trouble?
Well, some of the protected water, you'll obviously want to be on the leeward side, where you're not fighting the wind when you try to cast. And also the leeward side is going to give you cleaner water. Areas like Gohegan's Canal, good deep water, not a lot of current. And you'll be able to, you know, slow on the bottom is going to be the ticket. The hard part's to find them. Once you find them, they're usually kind of concentrated when the water temperatures get this low. So it's a lot of hunting, but once you find them, you usually can do pretty well.
Well, Mike, I can recall you and I fishing some of the canals there in the communities there, and they allow you to get in there and fish along some of the docks, and it's a little deeper water in there too. That might be a good opportunity for somebody that just got to put the boat in the water and go somewhere. That way you're safe, you're out of the wind pretty much, and you're out of the open waters.
Excuse me, that's correct. The other thing I would tell you is when you have high winds and cold temperatures, the best thing you can wear is a windbreaker. So if you wear cotton, your heat will go through the cotton and the wind will blow your heat away. You want to keep your heat confined so that it keeps you warm. So a good windbreaker, pants as well as a jacket, is really the way to go. I always wear boots when it's cold. I certainly don't want my feet to get wet.
Yep, that's some really good tips for dressing. And, of course, you know, they got a lot of the Thinsulate, too, the material that not only blocks the wind, but it's also breathable. I got a pair of waders that are like that, and I don't understand how, you know, perspiration can go through to the outside, but yet water and wind can't come through the inside. I don't know how that works technologically, but that's some great stuff. And be prepared. You know, have good pair of gloves and, you know, maybe a knit cap under your hood and that kind of thing. Just dress for the occasion.
That's true. Bring an extra set of clothes and some towels in case you do happen to get wet. where you can dry off and change as quick as possible, because you just have to keep your core temperature up or things can really turn bad quickly.
You got a heater in that blind you're headed to?
There actually is a heater in that blind. I don't know if I know how to work it.
You'll figure it out. you will figure it out. Well, it's probably getting close to shooting time, so we're going to let you mosey on up to the deer stand, and hopefully you got some good news for us next week. And in the meantime, people can check you out. They go to my website, and then they link directly to yours, aaofla.com, if they want to give you a call. But don't call him till after the hunting hours this morning. Give him that phone number.
Easy to reach me. The best number is 985-781-7811.
All right. Good luck, Mike, on the deer. Hope you bag one, and we'll catch up with you next week.
All right, Don. We'll talk to you then.
All right. Coming back after this quick break, we're going to be talking to our paddling reporter, Brendan Bayard, the Minimalist Challenge. Everybody was looking forward to that today, but wisely they have decided to reschedule it. We'll get him to give us the details and also maybe some tips on catching some fish from the kayak in these extremely cold weather days. We're back right after this. You're listening to The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. Well, it's a safe bet there won't be a whole lot of stroking for the fish going out there today with the conditions we've got. Extreme cold, below freezing temperatures to start off with, not much above that for the high, a lot of wind hawking down along the coast, creating a small craft advisory, and kayaks are classified definitely as small craft. Our report is brought to you in conjunction with the Bayou Coast Kayak Club and also No Wake Outfitters. They are your local fly shop specialists. You find them at 1926 Airline Drive in Metairie. Got some of the latest fishing tackle that's used in the local area. Paddle sports equipment, including the kayaks. They put on some fly tying and fly fishing classes, and I bet you they could help you find the right lure to catch some of those rainbow trout. You can check them out today. No Wake Outfitters, 1926 Airline Drive in Metairie. Brendan Bayard joins us now. And, Brendan, kind of a sad note, they canceled the Minimalist Challenge at Coco Marina for today, but it's going to be rescheduled, and I think that was a very wise move. How about you?
Yeah, I think it's not going to be any fun for anybody or safety concerns for today. You know, having 100 people launch together and spread out, just not a good idea at all. So wisely rescheduled to March 7th. We should have plenty of time to, you know, hopefully get a little bit of warm weather coming back in. This last stretch of, you know, two weekends in a row has been brutal. So, you know, it's just one of those things. It's a tough lot, but wisely rescheduled.
Yeah, well, who knows? March 7th, it might be 75 degrees that day, and catch a much better thing. And wise decision for safety is the first concern on that. Well, for somebody that's going to be trying to stay close and stay dry as number one in a kayak, what can you suggest?
You know, right now with the, you know, the wind and the low water, fishing those roadside pits that are along LA-1 between Fouchon and Grand Isle would probably be the safest way to go. There's always fish in there. You know, some of those places are, you know, 16, 17, 18 feet deep, and they're within, you know, 50 feet of the road. So you could bring your kayak there. You can cast from the bank, catch a few fish, and as the day warms up, you can get in your kayak and go a little bit further away from the bank. Probably the safest place that I would suggest fishing in a day with high winds and cold water and weather. You know, I've been out there when it's blowing 30 degrees and 20 or it's been blowing 30 miles an hour and 20 degrees when I was a little younger and dumber, and have caught quite a bit of fish. So I know they stack in there because the surrounding marshes drain. There's no water anywhere else. Those fish have to go somewhere. And they usually go into those deep pits, and they kind of stack up on top of each other. And sometimes it's like catching fish in a barrel.
Yeah, and of course you got to slow down your retrieve for sure, because the fish are not as active. And a lot of times it's not a feeding; it's just an instinct thing. And you got to put it on their nose and twitch it just a little bit, and they'll jump on it.
Yes, sir. So I know they've been catching them down there this week. The mornings, for whatever reason, have been better for the trout in those deep pits. You know, there's a little bit more throwbacks than at the beginning of the winter, I guess, because, you know, you fish a community hole and the bigger fish kind of get mined out, if you will, over time. But there's still plenty of fish in there. A little bit smaller average size than at the beginning of the winter. But the afternoon, I think once the wind dies in a couple of days, that's really been the ticket on this cold week we've had this week. The afternoons have been pretty good for the redfish in that same area. So looking forward to when this wind stops and this cold stops and we get a break, even into the, you know, 40s and 50s, I think those redfish will be a little bit more active.
You know, and on the freshwater side, you know, the freshwater catfish and the bass and the sockeye, they tolerate cold water much better, and there may be some good opportunities when that sun gets up to go into some of the state parks and put the kayak in and catch some fish there. We got a lot of them that have pretty good freshwater fishing.
Yeah, yeah, that is definitely a way. If you're a saltwater guy, might be the time of year to, you know, change and go fish some crappie and stuff right now for sure. That is definitely a good idea.
Very good. Well, Brendan, thanks for the report. We appreciate it. Try to stay warm, my friend. And, you know, actually, this will give people more time to do some scouting for that minimalist challenge coming up. Of course, you never know what baits they're going to give you. So you can kind of get an idea. They're going to give you certain types. But I guess that's be the best way to prepare for it is bring several different types. You know, bring a topwater, bring a jig, you know, and maybe a spinner and things like that, and maybe try them out.
Yeah, I mean, it's usually a bunch of paddle tails and stuff, so, you know, I would definitely suggest practicing with some plastics, but, you know, I think whatever they give us, it's going to be able to catch some fish, I'm pretty confident in, and hopefully March 7th will be a much better weekend to be out there than today.
I don't see how it could be a whole lot worse. Thanks for the report, Brendan. We appreciate it, and glad you got older and a lot smarter.
Yeah, it takes me a while, but I'm getting there.
All right. We'll see you next time, Brendan. Thank you. All right. There he goes, Brendan Bayard, one of our field reporters. All right. We come back after this. I'm going to tell you how you can pick up a $6,000 cash reward for information leading to the killing of a bald eagle. Back with that. And we got this week's bad boy of the outdoors. He, because he didn't know or he didn't care, he was using a caliber illegal to hunt deer. We'll tell you his story, too, right after this on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, if you like, if you can use $6,000, well, you can get it if you have information about a bald eagle that was shot and killed in Vermilion Parish. The $6,000 reward is offered to anyone with information that leads to a conviction. And the Department of Wildlife and Fishery agents were notified back on December 5th at the intersection of Robert Road and Wilmer Road in Erath. And they picked up the injured bald eagle, brought it in for an examination. They determined that the eagle had suffered from a fatal gunshot wound and finally died from the injury shortly after. Now, anyone that has information regarding that illegal killing, call the Operation Game Thief Hotline. It's on your hunting and fishing license. That number, it's toll-free, 800-442-2511. Or if you prefer, use the TIP 411 program. You text LADWF and then the TIP to 847-411. Or you can download the free LADWF TIPS phone and iPhone and Android app. And then they, in an anonymous way, if you don't want to be identified, you give them the information, and if there is a conviction, they will get your $6,000. Now, the illegal shooting and killing of bald eagle is a federal violation. Penalties include a $5,000 criminal fine, $5,000 civil restitution. So that's $10,000 plus a year in jail is possible. If you got information, call them, turn them in, and get a $6,000 reward. And we'll have a future bad boy, too. All right, we got today's bad boy coming up right after we pause a quick 10 seconds for our local stations to tell you who they are and where they are along the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. Well, our story begins with Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fishery agents Corporal Austin Anderson and Corporals Cody Salpietra on patrol on December the 12th. They responded to a call from the Lafourche Parish Sheriff's Office about a truck and Dazalmans. They had stopped and had fresh game in the bed. The agents responded to the scene. They found Harley Walker Jr. to be in possession of an antlered deer, two rabbits, and four wild hogs. Hope he had a sharp knife. Well, it didn't matter anyway because the agents seized the wild game and donated it to a local charity. Walker Jr. fessed up to harvesting the wild game from Port Sulphur with a 17-caliber rifle, which is illegally too small for hunting deer. You have to have at least a 22-caliber centerfire, not a 22 rimfire or anything smaller. Now, on top of that, he didn't bother to have any hunting licenses. So for hunting deer using illegal methods, which is the small-caliber rifle, hunting without a basic hunting license, hunting without a deer license, failing to tag the deer, and failing to comply with harvest card requirements, now facing maximum criminal fines of up to $1,900 plus another $884 civil restitution for the payback value of the illegal deer and rabbits plus possible 60 days in jail, is 46-year old enough to know better, Harley J. Walker Jr. of Raceland, Louisiana, our bad boy of the outdoors. Yeah, you know, 17 caliber. I guess maybe, but, you know, I was told, I've never shot, I don't own a 17 caliber, don't hunt with one, don't shoot with one, because it's pretty much limited to a varmint or a squirrel gun, small game. But I thought maybe he went with a light caliber because it wouldn't make as much noise since he was hunting at night, but I'm told that a 17 caliber makes more noise than some of the larger caliber rifles. Anybody have any experience with 17 calibers as far as sound? Text me, 504-260-1870 is our text line. I got a text back in from my buddy Rick, who's up there in Kentucky right now, and I was thinking that we had been hunting together at least 20 years. He tells me it was 33 years ago we went on our first turkey hunt at the Old Six, and we're still doing it together now. And, boy, how time flies when you're having fun. And believe me, turkey hunting is very much fun. All right, got some other texts coming in. Let's see. We got another update on the Captain Mickey show out of Houston. They took Captain Mickey off, and they put a show called Bite Me on. That's from Alton in Kentwood. What is Bite Me? I don't know what that show's all about. Is it a fishing show or something else? All right, we also have an update on rainbow trout fishing. This is Big E from Thibodeau. He caught 7 rainbows at the Bayou Sports Complex in Houma. Nice day, using a black rooster tail. He gave them to the other fishermen. Too many bones for me. Yeah, I know what you mean. They are bony fish, but it's pretty good meat. Now, he also did well fishing the bank, and here's another place, Point Ashen. You go down there, and he caught a 20-inch red, 2 14-inch speckled trout, and 3 sheephead. He cleaned them and gave them to his little sister. Very nice of you. Big E from Thibodeau, one of our regular listeners, and does a lot of bank fishing, and successfully, too, by the way. All right, we come back after this. We're going to catch up with Ryan Lambert. Let's see if we can get him to give us a recap on how his duck season went down there at the Cajun Fishing Adventures Lodge and what that less than 2-foot river level means for fishing down there. We'll be back with Ryan right after this pause. You're listening to The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. And let's check in with Captain Ryan Lambert, also known as our Plastic Man. And Ryan, kind of give us a recap on how your duck season went. I know you got affected by those negative tides, particularly in the second split. But comparing it to all the years in the past that you've been hunting down there, how would you rate this year?
You know, again, I think the lack of wind hurt us more than the lack of water, because we adjusted to the water and hunted in the evening, and we hunted further out. We did whatever we could, but the 80 degrees and lack of wind probably hurt more than anything. You know, we killed birds every day. You know, everybody had a great time. Fishing was great, so it was okay. Now, the last evening when that wind came through, all the guys went back out, and they put 2 boats together, and they had 10 of them that killed 60 birds in one blind.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, when those birds sit offshore, especially with all the pressure they have now, and they'll sit offshore in on the Gulf of Mexico on the west side, and they'll sit over here in Breton Sound, 10 miles offshore, to get, you know, they just sit out there. And then at night when the tide comes in, they come in, you know, just like deer, they get nocturnal with all the pressure. But when that wind blows, they got to come see me.
You know, I've been hearing that same story from not just South Louisiana or Louisiana, but also some neighboring states that, you know, our deer population has been forced nocturnal pretty much. I mean, the rut gets them moving in the daytime. If you got a lot of feed and very little light pressure, you can get them out. And ducks are the same way. You know, they're flying at night. They're flying in after hours, before hours, and really becoming, educated, I guess. What species was that on that last day where they killed those 60 birds? Was it a mix?
Lots of cans, pintails, gadwalls, green wings. That's about what made it up. It was a lot of birds. They was coming in 20 at a time. They were so excited.
Yeah, well, that's to be
four
expected.
They had four dogs working nonstop.
Yeah. Well, we got a river that's below 2 right now and maybe even going to get – well, I don't know. Maybe there's a rise coming. You keep a closer eye on it than I do. What's that going to mean for the fishing down there?
Well, the fish is going to stay great. The water is beautiful and, you know, the bait's there. You know, good thing with all this coal, I'm glad the speckled trout are down in those passes and stuff where they where it's deep, where they'll be all right. The fish is going to remain wonderful. I mean, it's just been great. You know, they're catching tunas close, monster tunas, redfish, speckled trout, sheep, everything you want. Fly fishing, it's just great right now. It just really is. It's going to stay like that for a while.
Yeah, I saw some pictures. I think Sarah was down there, and y'all were working over the red bull reds, and I guess she was using that fly rod, huh?
Oh, yeah. She's not going to fish with that fly rod. She loves that fly rod, that girl. She's in going to the Bahamas and Antigua the next couple of weeks. She just goes. Tori's fly fishing now, too. She's eat up with it. So, yeah, I got two of my girl guides just eat up with fly fishing, and they like to guide it. So, it's a great thing. I mean,
talk about fly fishing, guiding for fly fishing, how it's different than when you take people with rod and reels.
Oh, well, if I got people with rod and reels, I could show them the pattern. I could show them the bite, you know, because I'm fishing, too. But when a fly rod, it's on them, you know, and it's very, very difficult because most people come from a background of stream and river fishing, and they can just throw a little cast, just, you know, 20, 30 feet, and they mend it, and it floats down the river, and the fish comes up and eats it. Whereas when you saltwater fishing, you have to see the fish, throw beyond the fish, and then bring your fly back in front of the fish and present the fly to him, and it's a whole different game. And I would think almost 90% of the people really struggle when they come do it for the first time.
You know, the thing that amazes me about fly fishing for those reds is how aggressive they grab it when you put it out in front of them, behind them. But when you throw it right close to them, it spooks them. They're scared to death of it. How can it be such a different reaction just because you're a little bit a foot or two off on your cast?
And I tell people, don't throw to the fish. You don't. And don't strip real fast towards the fish because he thinks he's getting attacked. Versus if you watch redfish coming down the bank, they're just scouring the bottom. And when a little shrimp or minnows jump, boom, then they'll grab them. So you want to make it on their terms. So you want to get it in front of him, then strip to where he will be in the path. And then when he comes, just give it a little jump off the bottom, just like a shrimp or minnow would do. And boom, he's going to grab it so fast, make your head turn. But you can't attack him. You just can't attack the fish. You just let it do on his terms.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, that's one of the hottest things going is people want – I get questions from people out of state about catching bull redfish on a fly rod. They see it on TV. They hear about it. They want to do it. When is the best time for somebody to come down there and do it?
Goodness, when the river falls out in July, it's great. But the winter months, you know, October, November, December, January, February are the best because the algae falls out the water when it gets cold. The water's really clear. The bull reds are close in and in the marsh, so it makes it very easy to do. And the fight is just awesome. Then watch that big sun going to come up and slurp that fly in. Oh, it's great. I like
the sound that reel makes when that line is just pulling off of there is incredible, boy. If that doesn't get your blood going,
music.
You better check your pulse. You may not be alive.
Yeah, it'll burn your fingers up, too, because you got that index finger kind of controlling that line. Shoot, you better have a glove on or something, because
same thing
with bonefish. They'll burn you up. I tell you what, it's a great sport. You know, everything we do in the outdoors is so wonderful. I mean, the duck hunting, you know, we killed over 4,000 birds this year, which is really, really good for having such a tough year. But my guys, they get it. They work very hard at it. And, you know, I got people booking like crazy right now for next year.
Yeah.
You know.
You got the best down there. Ryan, I got to tell you, I need to reserve a trip with you to do a cast and blast next year. I was meeting with Sean Sullivan, who does an outdoor show on the station that carries this show in Alabama, FM 106.5. And he said one of his bucket lists is to go with you. So I want to bring him down there and we'll do a cast and blast because he's a real sportsman, loves to duck hunt, and also likes to catch fish too.
Well, we'll make that happen, and we're going to get you to Mexico. I'm going to Mexico in a little while. My season continues. I still got this trip, and I have one more trip after that because there's a ton of quail, and if this sighting nerve will let me go, I'm going to quail hunt. But we got a lot of wind, so this north wind is going to bring those redheads and pintails out of Texas and down into the Laguna Madre, so we ought to have a bang-up hunt this time.
Well, send me the next Mexican trips you got coming up because I'm going to make one of them for sure.
Yeah. You need to do a white wing trip and then a quail trip.
I'll do it all. Whatever's going on. Ducks, quail, doves,
I'm
all in.
You have to do two trips to do white wings. White wings early in the season at August, September time frame, and I'll get you on that, and then we'll bring you back for the combo where you can shoot some quail. I mean, we're stopping at 50 quail a hunt right now. I mean, it's wild quail, too. It's just it's wonderful.
Well, I'm going to brush up on my Spanish, my Espanol, and we'll head down. Of course, I got you. You're the perfect translator.
That's right. I got it. And everybody depends on me when we're down there. What do you say?
¿Cómo se dice en Espanol, Captain Ryan? Yeah, like. All right, my friend, give them your telephone number. Somebody wants to get in on fly fishing. Of course, duck hunting's over till next year, but they're booking already. And if they want to find out about your Nole Hase in Mexico, how do they reach you?
They can call me at 504-559-5111 or go to CajunFishingAdventures.com. It doesn't have Nole Hase on it because it's so exclusive. You know, it's very difficult to get in there. But just give me a call and we'll make it happen.
Right. We know somebody. All right, Ryan, we'll catch up with you next week, my friend. Have a good one.
All right, buddy. See you.
All right, that's Captain Ryan Lambert. All right, when we come back after this, we're going to wrap it up, get to some text message, and a very special announcement about this show. Stay tuned for it next on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, let's catch you up on some of these texts that are coming in. We're hearing from our friend John Terrebonne with the Convent Hunting Club, where they do hunt rabbits. He says he has a 7-year-old son, Kai, with him on this frigid Saturday morning. They picked up his very first hunting dog this week in Mississippi. That's how you keep the next generation in the same tradition. My son hunts more than most adults. He's eager to learn, listens very well. My friends are honored to have him come along with us. He's learning more and more every year. Well, John, it sounds like Kai is hooked like the rest of it, and good luck to him, and hopefully he takes good care of that new beagle. All right, we got old man Sam says, looks like it's a log on the fire kind of day, and go in the kitchen and make deer jerky. Now, not a bad idea. This one says those bald eagles kill themselves. They do. I don't think they shoot themselves with shotguns. That's the work of an outlaw. And somebody says, thanks to the good citizen for reporting the outlaw and getting him busted. That was with regard to today's bad boy. All right, I asked about 17 calibers. Someone says it's like that popular car show. They are fast and they are loud. Good description. All right, here's one says, you need more airtime. Captain Mickey was on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday early hours. He had good guests like you, informative. Here's one says, I'm in my normal Saturday morning drinking spot, drinking my coffee spot. I don't hunt or fish, but I thoroughly enjoy listening to you in the program. That's Tim in Pascagoula. Well, Tim, thank you for that. That's one of the biggest compliments I can get when someone doesn't hunt or fish, but they find this show interesting and entertaining. All right, here's one says, send me an email. I would like to send you some photos of my catches. I will do that, Elliot. I'll do that as soon as we get off the air. Before I grab my dog, Smokey, and load her in the truck and my shotgun and go woodcock hunting on this final day of woodcock season. But before we wrap up, a special announcement about the future of this show. Next week will be my last show. After 37 years, I'm hanging up the headset, but not the fishing poles, the rifles, and the shotgun. And we're going to have a sign-off show next week. It's going to be a special show. We're not going to concentrate on hunting and fishing reports. I want you to reminisce about the past 37 years that this show has been on. I want to do some on-air thank yous to our field reporters, to our very generous and loyal sponsors, and especially you, the listeners. Without you, the audience, this show would never have been on for 37 years. I have been on for 5 different decades, the 80s, the 90s, the zeros, the teens, and now the 20s. So next week we'll be looking for your text. We'll let you open up the phone lines. I'm going to have a lot of people who have helped me along the way that deserve thanks. They're going to come on the air. We're going to talk about past shows, maybe tell us your favorite episodes, your favorite guests, and memories over the years that you've been listening. And I know a lot of you have been listening for a long, long time. I meet people who are men with their own children now, and they said they started listening as a kid when they were riding in the truck with their dad to go on the way hunting and fishing, and they've continued to listen all these years. It's been a very rewarding career. I'm so thankful for being allowed to do what I love, to earn a living, but it's just time for me to do other things. And like athletes sometimes do, you want to leave at the top of your game. And before things change and I become irrelevant and that type of thing, I think it's best to just end it and go on to do other things, do some traveling, do some hunting and fishing in places that I've never been, spend more time with my family. That's very important. And I always suggest you, when you go on hunting and fishing, do it with the people you love. Do it with your friends. Do it with your family. And it doesn't matter how many fish you catch, how many ducks you shoot. It's being together with them and enjoying these precious, precious natural resources. And always continue to take up the role of a conservationist and someone who promotes good hunting and fishing. And bring the kids into it. Bring the youth, your kids, and maybe their friends if they don't have someone. You never know who's going to get hooked on the outdoors and might be doing their own radio show for the next 37 years. I'm going woodcock hunting. See you next week for the last show on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network.